Great to be back in this building and see you lovely fans and season ticket holders and just good people. I missed Jacksonville when I left, so it is great to be back. So I'm going to introduce you to some of our best alumni that have ever played for the Jaguars. You guys know them. I probably don't even need to introduce them or give a bio, so we'll just go with names and we'll go from there. So the first one we have to introduce is, I call him Double D, but you know him as Donovan Darius. Fun fact about Double D, he knocked me out cold in practice one day. Our next one, everyone knows him. He's the pride of the Jaguars, the very first draft pick of the Jaguars. That's Mr. Tony Boselli. I wish I could find the other two guys. I think I see them coming, but Tony and I never played together, and that's probably a good thing because he's notorious for hating kickers, so... He still rags on me, and we never even played together. But Tony, like me, loves to play golf, and he's never beaten me at golf, so he hates me because of that, too. All right, our next one is...
even close to being as good as you in golf, though.
Thank you.
Not even close.
One day when you're older.
I doubt it.
Our next alumni is the best Jaguar quarterback in our history. Hopefully there will be one better than him one day, but for now, it's Mark Brunell. And our last alumni is a Jacksonville native and the best cornerback in the history of the Jaguars, Rasheen Mathis. Yeah, you're right there. All right, guys. Apparently everyone's excited tonight, so what I have is just a list of questions we're going to go through with the guys, and then you all get to ask your own questions. I was told the answers or questions from you guys aren't screened, so make sure you're nice to all these guys up here because we're all a little still sensitive.
You don't have to be nice, though. You can really ask anything you want.
Yeah, we can have some fun.
But we don't have to be nice either.
No, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, so we'll start it off. Who wants to be the first person to get a question?
Donovan.
All right.
Donovan.
Here we go.
He will talk the most tonight, so let's just start it off with him.
That's a negative.
I'm sure everyone has seen Donovan's motivational speeches that he does online and whatnot. They're fantastic. So we might get one of those tonight. All right, so Donovan, the first question for you is, what was your most memorable moment playing for the Jaguars?
There you go. Who remembers the clothesline at Green Bay? So by popular vote, the clothesline at Green Bay. But I actually will say probably my most memorable moment in the Jaguars history was when I reported to training camp my rookie year because everybody was out there on the field and I was just determined not to be late, not to be a holdout because I really valued the opportunity to play for the Jaguars in front of these fans. And so me signing a deal, coming here and being able to play my first ever professional game as a Jacksonville Jaguar.
Rasheen, same question.
Okay. Am I on? Okay. It won't be as poetic as Doubles. But due to the fans and all of you guys, it has to be Steelers. Steelers playoff game. Yeah. Thank you. It probably wasn't a better feeling winning a playoff game in that such fashion, in a fashion such as that. So, Steelers playoff game, pick six for sure.
Yeah.
That was the last Jaguars playoff win, by the way. So hopefully we can get another one of those. There's no players or coaches in here, are there? All right, good. Mark, so what is your most memorable moment as a Jaguar?
My most memorable moment as a Jaguar was the playoff win against the Broncos.
I like it. Tony?
I think just that playoff run of 96, Buffalo, Denver, and then flying back into the city and doing which would be completely against the law right now, but a flyover felt like about 100 yards over the stadium and seeing this. 10 o'clock at night, three quarters of the stadium full.
Hey, how about when Tony Boselli shut down Bruce Smith? How about that? Remember that?
Way to go, Tony.
I wish I'd have let Mark get hit a lot more, trust me. If I could do it all over again, one thing I would do is let a few guys hit him right in the face. Maybe knock some sense into him.
I'm sorry, I couldn't help myself.
All right. Next question, we'll just keep Tony going over there. We'll have some fun with this one. What does it mean, Tony, to you to have Tom Coughlin back with the team?
You want the truthful answer or what everyone's going to know?
Politically correct answer is fine.
I'm joking. You know, Tom was, he's a great coach, greatest coach ever to be a part of this franchise. Led us on the doorstep of the Super Bowl twice. And someone that you have great respect for when you play. You might not always like him, and there was plenty of days we didn't like him very much, but he was a great coach. And so to have his presence back, and someone you respect like Coach, he's who brought me here. He brought Mark to this organization. He drafted Double D. You know, it's good. I think it's where I'm glad he's able to end his career here. It's not as a coach, but to help hopefully bring this franchise back to a chance to ultimately win a championship. That's what we want to do. In my opinion, one day he should be in the stadium. And in my opinion, he's a Hall of Fame coach. And it was an honor to play for him, even though some days Mark and I drove into work, dreading, figuring how we could, you know, sabotage and maybe go, you know, get a few sucker punches in the gut to him.
I never did that.
No, you did.
No, I never. That was not me. I loved work.
I loved going into work every day. I was Mark's psychologist every day because he had to deal with Tom more than I did, so I was trying to talk him off the ledge many a day. But it's great to have him back. His presence will bring something, and just the who he is as an individual. I mean, he's so well respected throughout the entire community. And anyone who ever played for him, this is one last thing I'll say. Anyone who ever played for him, there was many days it wasn't always that much fun. But anyone who played for him after they were done said, I'd play for him again because I respect him so much.
Yep. That's great. Mark, same for you. Same question. What do you feel having Tom back in the organization is
going to
do?
Well, you know, Tom, probably the easiest way to put it is he knows what it looks like. We're supposed to look like. He's won two championships as a head coach. Listen, there's no substitute in the NFL for hard work. His expectations of his players, his coaches, the organization, they're very high, and there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. He will demand a lot out of the players. He will demand a lot out of the coaches, and that's a good thing. He will require that everybody gives absolutely everything they can to become a winner. And if there's one guy that could turn this around, that can truly make a difference and get us on the right path, it's Tom Coughlin. I really believe that.
You know my favorite thing about Tom being back? My favorite thing about Tom being back is that we're not having to play for him. We can cheer him on and hope he really grinds him and makes it really miserable for him and yells at everyone and, you know, gets after him. It's great. We're like you guys now. It's like, Tom, get after those guys. Don't put up with anything. When you're a player on the other side, you're going, my goodness, can you just give us a break?
Well, you know, I agree exactly with these guys, and we can all say the same thing about Coach Coughlin. And one of the things that Coach Coughlin did when he was here is he was all about a winning culture. And you can have different cultures on different teams, but the difference between a winning culture is all about the finish. So he helped us with the character, with the finish, with the discipline, the accountability on finishing what we did, whether it was a play. How do you finish a play? How do you finish a quarter? How do you finish a half? How do you finish a game? And so what I'm excited about him being back, and Coach Marone is the same way, that they're all about the finish. They're all about creating a winning culture. And so that's why I'm so excited about Coach Coughlin being back.
Rasheen, you weren't drafted by Coughlin. You were Del Rio's first year. Right?
I didn't play for him, but I guess hearing all these guys speak, I'm just glad I didn't play for him. I'm joking. That was a joke.
Hey,
that was a joke.
I know. Hey, you might have won more than one playoff game if you would have.
You're right. That's a joke. I know Coach Coughlin very well, and the respect I have for him, even though I didn't play for him, then the respect that the community has for him as well, and the players that actually played for him, it's a win-win. He's gonna bring the fans back in the seats and also bring discipline back to the team. So it's a win-win for sure.
All right, go back to Mark. This is just a random one. Who was the most entertaining teammate that you ever had? It might take you a little bit.
That's an easy one.
All right. Is he on this stage?
He's not on this stage.
Okay.
The most entertaining teammate by far, and it's not even close, was Kyle Brady.
Yeah.
No question.
I agree. Yeah.
And I cannot tell you why he was so entertaining, nor will I give you examples or stories. I'm not telling you stories. Just know that he is by far the funniest, most entertaining teammate I have ever had, ever. Ever. Let's just say it was not politically correct.
I mean, I played a few years with him, too. Yep. One of the things we can actually talk about up here that he did.
I'm not talking about anything.
I'm not either.
No. I deny having any recollection of anything that he did.
Not in the locker room. I'm talking about out on the field for a stretch one day. He lit up a cigarette and was smoking it during stretch, and the coaches were just shaking their head at him. He's like, what? They used to do this 30 years ago. Who cares? And he just smoked it in the stretch line. Oh, he was great. So, yeah, we just go down the line. Most entertaining player you ever played with. Might be the same person.
Yeah, no question. Mango. Kyle.
We got it.
Yeah, Cal.
Okay. All right, moving on. This is more of a serious one. We'll start out with Tony. What advice would you give the 2017 rookie class about being a Jaguar?
I think it's about being a professional athlete. I mean, you're a professional, and so that probably should be the most important word you focus on, especially as a rookie. You're here to do a job. And like any job, the harder you work, the more dedicated you are, the more diligent at becoming better at your craft, the more chance you have of being successful. And I think as a young player, you go back to the whole Tom Coughlin question, you know, when I came here in 1995, I understood a lot of those things, but then they were demanded as well. So as a young player, you're like, I better be a professional and I better be one quick because that's the expectation. So it's not like there's some secret formula out there. You know, outside of maybe having Tom Brady, or, you know, is the secret formula to making sure you win every game. The teams that are successful work hard, they're diligent, they're focused, they have a bunch of pros. And, you know, you ask anyone up here, you immediately know who the pros in the locker room and who are the guys. You're like, I'm not so sure about that guy. You know, he might be talented, but I'm not sure how long he's going to make it because he's not a pro. So be a pro.
Donovan?
You know, I would say, you know, with these guys, just to keep it simple, I would think about the ABCs. I would say, number one, it is your attitude that you approach life with, the attitude you come to work with on the good days and the bad days. The B is your behavior. What are you going to do to make your team great? What are you going to do to make yourself great? And the C is commitment. How committed are you? It's easy for everybody when everything is going well, but when it's not, how committed are you to the little things? To taking the extra steps, studying extra film, doing the things you need to do. So basically, I would just let them know, be a professional, and by being a professional, focus on the ABCs.
You want to follow that?
No, I just wanted to make a word up for Z. Z? Anything? Z?
You could probably, I guarantee you can get through the whole alphabet. All right. So all five of us, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I'm a kicker. I would forget which direction I was told to kick it sometimes. Right. Left or right, I was like, oh, crap, what did they tell me? So all five of us live in Jacksonville after our career now. So go down the line, tell us what made you want to stay here or move back here, or, you know, what makes you like or love the city?
That's a great question. I mean, it's the people, it's the location, it's the beach, it's the outdoors, it's the, I mean, there's so many different things. But I think the most biggest thing is after moving away a couple of years because of going to the Texans and stuff, my wife and I looked at each other and said, the only place that feels like home is Jacksonville. So we moved back to Jacksonville because it was home. I mean, I mean, the easiest thing, this is home. I mean, this is where most of, you know, our kids were born, and the church we're a part of, I mean, the community we're a part of, our friends, I mean, this is home, and I would be shocked if we ever leave.
Yeah, similar for me and my wife. When we got here in 95, there just seemed to be an instant connection. Tony said it best. It just felt like home. I found a group of friends. We found the church that we liked. We liked the area, and the people were wonderful. It was an exciting time to be here in 95, the expansion team, and just everything kind of came together. And my wife and I are from the West Coast, and nobody wants to go back to California. And and I figured Jacksonville was a long ways.
Maybe for a week.
Yeah, this just became home very quickly. We never wanted to leave.
And for me, when, you guys clap it up. You know, for me, coming back here, I went away in 2007 when I went out with the Raiders and Dolphins. But the reason why I came back had everything to do with the day I got drafted. When Coughlin called me on the phone to say, we're going to draft you, what I heard in the back of my mind was purpose. And that meant that there was a purpose to where I was going, not only to the city, the community, my team, my family. So Jacksonville was where I was planted. So I went away for a couple of years, but I knew I had to get back here for either my foundation, my sports camps, the community, whatever it was. So Jacksonville was a place of family, but it was also a place of purpose.
Great. All the golf courses.
Golf.
Rasheed Mathis is one of the biggest secrets, maybe the second best golfer that's been a Jaguar besides the guy right next to him. He's the sneaky. Go to a driving range somewhere in Jacksonville, there's a chance you're going to see Rasheed Mathis on it.
Well, with me, I guess when I got drafted, and the only thing was in the back of my mind was home. Being born and bred here, it was no question when I went up to Detroit. It was Detroit, Jacksonville, snow, sun, Jacksonville won.
Yeah, that's tough. All right, so this one's more of a...
Well, you didn't answer the question.
Oh, yeah. Literally say the same thing you just said.
Okay, Scobie.
Yeah.
Let me ask you, which question is it? Why did you come back to Jacksonville?
Well, people keep asking me, I literally retired a month ago, but people keep saying, welcome back and welcome back. But I mean, we never left. This was home. When I got traded and was gone for 6 weeks, I was so miserable that I wasn't here.
It was a long vacation for you.
It was a very high paid, long, short vacation. So, I mean, I drove back the day I got released from Pittsburgh, and like, I never want to go anywhere else. So what Rasheed said too is, I'm a huge golf nut, and I mean, this is one of the best cities in the world for golf, and the weather, the people, just the love that you guys have shown me and my family is something that, I mean, we'll never want to leave because of that alone.
Oh, give him a hug.
I feel the love for you.
Yes.
I feel the love for you. I feel it.
So, yes, this will be home forever. For good. So, along that note, what are some of the charitable things that you do now that your career is over? So, start with Rasheed. Besides golf.
Yeah, that's not really charitable. Well, Wednesday it might be.
Yeah.
Anything in the community. I find myself talking to schools week in and week out to kids. It's a passion of mine. So anything that's involved with motivating kids and teaching them and showing them what a true leader and a true man of God looks like. It's what I'm commissioned for.
That's great.
Awesome. I have the Donovan Darius Foundation, and so we partner with other nonprofits. I host life camps for youth, teenagers, and parents on personal leadership and life skills. And then every Tuesday, I actually do a motivational forum, as Josh was talking about, live on Facebook, Donovan Darius Motivational Forum. It's totally free. We just get a chance to talk about life and different parts about it. So I welcome everybody to join, and I'll be on there tomorrow.
I do some speaking in the area. I play at a lot of charity golf tournaments. And I do a lot. I do a lot of stuff. A lot.
Oh, man. I don't know how to follow that. we have the Pacelli Foundation. We do worked with after-school programs, our own and others, for 10 years. And 10 years before that was schools and teachers and everything else. And then do some speaking. And I think the biggest charity I do is trying to raise my own 5 kids and not screw that up. Outside of that,
best of luck.
And so if any of you want to help me on that, I have a hotline you can call and give me advice. It's a nonprofit. It won't cost you anything. Honestly, I'm looking for all the advice I can get. But, you know, but mainly after-school programs with the Pacelli Foundation and golf tournaments and speaking wherever we can.
That's great. Well, all right, so now we're going to open it up to the fans, and I don't know how exactly we're going to start it. So there's microphones on either side, right? And is it set up? We're already good to go? So fan number one, wherever you are, first question. This could get good or bad.
This right here?
Where are we at?
Am I the only one up here right now?
Who wants to go first? Raise your hand.
I'll go.
Okay. All right,
you go.
One right. Of you go first. Whoever you want to go, just start talking.
Go right ahead.
Donovan, I'm trying
to figure out how to phrase this. And excuse me, I've cut in line. How would each and every one of you on a separate answer Wires great again?
Oh. You want to ask a kicker that question? How to make the Jaguars great again? Easy answer. You get the big position players, the quarterbacks, the left tackles, the cornerbacks, the running backs to play well. That's what every team does well.
Tony's got an idea.
Yeah, Tony has an idea.
He probably.
Well, much like making America great again, we should build a wall. Some of you laughed and some of you cringed. That's why I figured the response would be.
Wrong place for that.
Oh, is that not true? No, I was joking.
He said make Jaguars great.
Oh, make Jaguars great. I'm not even, I don't want to get political on you all. Rasheen told me to say that. That was his idea. I'd like to build a wall to keep everyone out of Jacksonville that doesn't live here right now, but no, joking, because this is a great place. Traffic's getting a little much. We need to work on that. But, no, I think that making Jacksonville, I mean, the Jaguars great again, all kidding aside, is it's not, you got to get good players who work hard and are given direction to do the right thing and then go play it. I'm a firm believer that, listen, leadership from the top is very important. I think we have a great owner. I think what Shad Khan has done with his organization since he took over has been outstanding. And when you look at what Mark Lamping has done as the president, I think it's great. And now, you know, what we have to see is the fruit of the draft picks and the free agents that we pick. You got to go perform. I mean, I think every guy up here will tell you, at the end of the day, it's a player's responsibility to be ready to go play and go perform on the field. And I think so. Keeping guys accountable, a lot of things we talk about, hard work, being a pro. I mean, you do that, and then the final thing is, in today's NFL, the way the rules are set up, you got to have a good quarterback, you know, and put those things together, and we'll be fine.
All right, next question, right over here.
Okay, so on a side note, before I even say anything, I moved here from England, and I watched you guys play, and I couldn't figure out why you weren't in the Super Bowl with as many field goals as you kicked. Didn't make sense to me. But on a side note, with the season schedule that's come up, what are each of you seeing being the highest scoring game for the Jaguars this season? Is it Houston? I mean, who would you pick?
So you're saying the most amount of points that the Jaguars were scoring in one game?
Yep.
They're not going to be Houston because their defense is good.
Yeah.
Who has the worst defense? I don't know. The Jets. We're going to score a lot of points against the Jets. They stink. And the Ravens in London. We're going to kill those guys, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Donovan?
Next question. Right over here.
Yeah, my question is for Double D there. I'm just wondering, did you give Jalen Ramsey permission to take your number? We know he can cover, but can he hit as hard as you did back in the day? And so I just wanted to get your perspective on that. As far as the last time I checked, it was your number first.
Well, I appreciate it. Yeah, Jalen, I knew Jalen back in high school. I got a chance to talk to him before. But again, as I mentioned to Jalen, I said, man, it'd be an honor and a privilege for you to wear this number because, again, with what he did and he's going to continue to do, he shows the leadership by example, and that's what you look when you think about carrying a legacy along.
All right, right over here.
Rashid, you know, going up here in Jacksonville and going to BCU, the BCU and Thune Cookman, and how does it feel coming back home, having served your community, did what you want to do, and been a good, successful NFL player?
How does it feel? Honored. I'm honored to be able to come back home, to be a small school guy from Bethune, and to be sitting up here with legends. It's an honor. I count it a blessing every day. I reap the... I see the benefits. I reap the benefits of it every day. So it's a blessing, and it's our duty as Jaguars to give back and, you know, make the city proud. So it's an honor.
All right, right over here.
This is aimed at Josh Scobie. My favorite moment as a Jags fan was that incredible field goal against the Colts.
Which one?
The long.
Oh, this one here, yeah.
The real one. Would you be good enough to share what it was like, your feelings? Were you nervous? Were you intense? Were you, I mean, that has to be something that you have to think back on over and over. And if you could share that, I would appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, so I mean that kick will forever be the best memory I had as a player, and because it happened at home, I had done it a couple times on the road, and you know it's fun to kick a game winner on the road, but at home where you get to enjoy it with the fans. And I remember after the game, leaving with my family in my car and stopping and taking pictures and signing autographs, and just how long we were here after that game to enjoy it. And it felt like I couldn't sleep for about 3 or 4 days after that because I was still so pumped up. But for that kick, just beforehand, I didn't feel nervous at all. I mean, it was one of those situations where you dream about as a kicker is to kick a last-second game-winning field goal, and it all worked out perfectly for that moment to come down to exactly where I told him that we needed to get in order for me to make it. And like I said, it'll be the most memorable football moment of my life, for sure. All right, right over here.
All right, so we've all heard the talking heads on all the sports shows, and they've all given their opinions. Collectively, give us your opinion of this two-part question. Our draft, give us a letter grade, what you think after what you saw, and our current team veterans, give them grade, where they stand right now.
A plus for the draft because they haven't done anything, so they're all good right now.
That's weak. Come on.
And for the team, you said?
Yes.
A plus because we're 0-0. We're undefeated right now. If you're doing it off of last year, it might be a little bit of a different grade. I mean, you can't. The draft, I mean, these people who give all these letter grades for the draft is ridiculous. I mean, you have no idea.
Right.
I mean, Telvin Smith is, what, in his fourth year this year? He's a fifth rounder. He might be one of the best defensive players we have now.
Right.
You know, in that same draft, I think,
or the year before, Luke Joeckel was the second overall pick, and he's on another team now because of injuries and a lot of different things. So you just don't know until it plays out a little bit. So, you know, hopefully it's great, and hopefully we win a lot of ball games, and hopefully we're all saying A-plus at the end of the year. But right now I think it's just kind of guessing, and I think it's fun for, you know, like the sports shows and everything for us to give grades, but I don't put much stock in it.
Okay. Anybody else want to add to that?
Yeah, great.
Well done. Right over here.
Come on, buddy.
Who's your favorite wrestler?
He said, who's our favorite wrestler?
Hulk Hogan. Sting.
The Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah! Oh, he's coming
up. Right. All right. We got another
Jimmy
one over
Fly Snooker.
We got... How much time do we have, Dan? Looking good? Okay, we got one more question.
Grant,
go for it, buddy.
Yep. So this is kind of to any of you guys as the the veterans looking at this year's roster. You know, one of the youngest in the league, obviously. And you know, throughout the OTAs getting underway, you hear from multiple outlets that Telvin Smith isn't happy with the way things are going. He feels like, you know, they're not where they need to be. Granted, it's early, you know, but as veteran guys with a young roster like that. Is that to you an appropriate way to kind of send a message to the rest of your guys, like, hey, we have a lot of work to do? Or is there a different way maybe that you guys would go about it?
Well, I'll just say leadership always starts by example. And I think, you know, with Rasheen, we played on the same side of the ball. I could never ask of him to do anything that I wasn't willing to do. And so what you say out in public is a lot of times what you should be willing to do. And from what we saw over the last few years, Telvin, he puts his work out, he put his work in, he leads by example. And so what he says, guys can take it to the bank because he does that by his actions every day. I have no problem with it.
Anybody else want to cover that one?
No, I mean, when you're winning games, those aren't stories. So you've got to win ball games and get better. I mean, that's at the end of the day. You look at, and I think that's what everyone gets back to, everyone's organization. It's one of the reasons Tom Coughlin was brought back in here. It's why, if you ask anyone who ever played here, all the fans, you want to win football games. And because the last thing you want to be talking about what's going on in OTAs. You know, you want that to be an after story and, you know, have fun in these events and sign autographs and that stuff and get ready for training camp and win a lot of football games. So, Telvin's a great player. He, you know, whatever he wants to say, you know, is great because he performs on the field. That's my theory.
All right. Well, thank you guys very much. Thanks
for
having
us. Oh, we got one more.
We got one more.
We can't let my man.
All right. We see
these
it.
Two, how about we do two more, Josh? These two young guys.
Two kids, yeah.
Two kids.
Over here. Go ahead, buddy.
Mark.
Am I going first?
Yes.
Talk a little bit louder, okay?
For Mark Brunell, if you can give Blake Bortles one piece of advice, what advice would you give?
Yeah. What a great question of the night.
No PC.
Yeah, Mark. What would your advice be for Blake Bortles?
You know what?
Tell the truth.
I would tell Blake right now, considering last year and his career up to this point, I would tell Blake to block out the noise.
Good job.
So it's a tough position to play. And I really do believe that Blake has the potential to be a very good quarterback in this league. Yeah, I think he went backwards a little bit last year, and there were factors, there were reasons for that. It's a new season, new opportunities, a different team, block out the noise, forget what you've done in the past and what you haven't done. Learn from your mistakes, go forward and do your best to focus on becoming the best quarterback you can be, he just has to go forward, and if he does, I think he'll be just fine.
That's a great question. Before we go on to the next question, Mark, this is a follow-up. As a player, what'd you do to block out the noise?
What's your name, young man? And what is your question?
What's your favorite play in Jaguars history?
Favorite play in Jaguar history?
I'll tell you my favorite play in Jaguar history. It's the fade to Jimmy Smith in the end zone that sealed the game. That was my favorite.
I think mine is Fred Taylor when he took the handoff and went against Miami. He just went like 90 yards.
I agree with that. Freddie T, 90 yards, Miami. It was classic.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I would say my 25-yard game-winning field goal at Pittsburgh.
That's a good one.
It was a tough one. All right, well, thank you, guys. Thank you, fans.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Free agent signing this year, 2017, with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Played with Arizona, I believe, for his entire career before this, but might be the biggest player in the NFL, and that's Calais Campbell. And we have another 2017 free agent signing from the team that we really don't like, and that'd be the Houston Texans, A.J. Boye. Another 2017 free agent signing. Apparently we needed some good players, so here's another one from came over from Dallas, and that's Barry Church. And one of my favorite all-time teammates in Jaguars and all-around good dudes, Mr. Paul Posluszny. You guys will get that ovation one day. Don't worry. Don't worry. All right. So what we'll do is I'll just ask you guys some questions. We'll kind of go down the line, or I'll point to you or whatever, and give it your best answer. So we'll start out right here with Big Calais. The first question I have is, what is your personal goal for the 2017 season?
Personal goal?
Just personal, not team, personal.
You know, I learned over the years that personal goals don't really matter. Only thing that matters to me is going to the playoffs and having a chance at Super Bowl. And so my personal goal is lead this team, or help try to lead this team to win a division and have an opportunity at a Super Bowl run.
I like it. AJ?
I could say that's pretty much the same. You know, at the end of the day, when you're doing good personally, that means that you're affecting everything with the team. So I could say first most just winning the division, and then get into the playoffs and going from there and just taking it a game at a time.
I like it. We don't have to be so PC. You can say, hey, I want 10 picks.
I definitely think about that too. So
that's okay. Yeah. 10 picks would be good. Barry?
I would love to have 10 picks, but also I'm going to piggyback on what Calais and AJ said. Just doing whatever I can to get this team to the next level and get to the promised land, which is holding up that trophy. But we know we got to put the work in first, but everybody on this team is willing to do that, so I'm excited about it.
Good. I like it. Go ahead, Paul.
I think they said it all.
Right? I know. It's hard to really piggyback on any of that, but yes, it's very PC. Why don't you say something that people actually go, oh, he wants 150 tackles this year. That's great.
I mean, along those lines, numbers aside, I think personally for the big thing for me is just to be an asset for this team. You know, change of positions this year, so a little bit of a different type of year for me, but to be an asset to this team, be a great teammate, and play my part and do whatever we can to win.
All right, so we'll just continue with Paul. What are your first impressions so far, going through OTAs and first stage, second stage, all that, of the 2017 rookie class?
I think we have a very solid group of guys. Guys that they came in very willing to listen and learn and work hard. And you'll see a lot of guys that will have an immediate impact on Sundays for us.
Any one player, kind of standing out right now, where you're saying, wow, he looks better than what, some of us even thought?
I know, defensively, we have a lot of guys that are really making strides in what they're doing. Obviously, the big name that everybody knows about is our big time first round pick, our running back who looks great, and he will continue to do so. You know, the thing with him, it's he's going to be such a strong runner for us that when the pads go on, that's when he'll really shine. But you see him now, his movement, his speed, his change of direction in space, all that is very, very impressive.
Okay, Barry.
Well, the first thing I noticed when I came on the OTA field was it's a different type of heat down here, man. I mean, it's I'm sweating right now, but this is true. But I would definitely have to say a guy that I kind of looked at in that rookie class was D.D. Westbrook. I mean, yeah, we go against the receivers a lot and, you know, all that stuff. So that's what I kind of picked up on, just watching his movements and how he runs his routes. He's very smooth and very creative for such a young age at that position. So the sky's the limit for that kid. I just hope he keeps progressing as we go along.
All right. AJ, first impressions of 2017 rookies?
I think they're a very talented group of guys. You know, at the end of the day, coaches emphasize that they're going to have to earn everything, and you can see that they're willing to put in the work. But I'm most impressive, like he said, D.D. Westbrook. You know, he's already running routes like a pro. I know I'm probably saying that too soon, but just watching him on film and just seeing what he could bring to the team with his speed and like his route craft, you can see that he's been developed at an early age and that he's going to just keep getting better from here if he just keeps putting the work in.
All right, good deal. Clays?
Yeah, it's hard to judge guys when we're not pads on yet, especially on the D-line, but we have this one kid, Smoot, the third-round pick. He has some talent. He's flashed. I can't wait to see what he does when we put the pads on.
Well, I'll take credit because I'm the one that actually drafted him. I called his name, and whenever I saw his name, how it was spelled, I'm like, how was this actually pronounced? Luckily, the pronunciation was right underneath it, but that's good to hear that he's looking good, too. All right, so on to the third question, a little more fun questions. We'll start with you. Do you have any pregame rituals or superstitions or things that you like to do that are different from, you know, just than what most players do on game day?
I mean, I have a routine, and if I don't do that routine, it kind of...
Yeah, it's called a superstition.
Yeah, I get out of whack. Yeah. Yeah. Everything has to be done precisely the same way.
Yeah.
And I know I'm in the zone, though. But I think the one thing that people always give me a hard time about is I listen to a lot of DMX. Before games.
Eric's going to give it to you.
Yeah. I mean, he hasn't made a CD, a track in like just 2001 probably, but still gets me ready before games.
I like it. AJ?
I don't think I really have anything superstitious. Only thing that I find kind of weird is like I usually read like the game day books and look at like all the charities and all the off the field stuff with the fans and everything.
I thought you were going to say cheerleaders for a second. I look at all the cheer.
Yes.
Go ahead.
Yes.
Yes.
I usually look at
you
stuff.
You see guys doing that all the time. You walk by their locker and they've got the cheerleader section open.
They rip the page out probably, you know, keep it in their locker, take it home. That's pretty much the main thing. I look at stuff like that, just see what is going on in the community and things. Sometimes I just like to read stuff just to get my mind off of certain things before I get ready. So that's pretty much it.
That's good. Barry?
I guess one superstition I have is I got to have a very fresh pair of white laces. No matter what, my shoes could be dirty as all heck, but if I have that pair of white laces for some reason, I'm good to go. But that's probably the only thing that kind of gets me going pregame.
Okay. Paul?
I think I'm very routine-oriented, I would say.
Shocks me. I'm very shocked. Yeah.
But something it's kind of weird now that I think about it. I clean my locker.
We all know that.
Everything needs to be in the exact spot. My socks are in a certain spot. My gloves, my mouthpieces, everything that I need needs to be in a very, very specific spot on game day. And if it's not, I'm off. So I need to make sure that everything is perfectly placed. So when it's actually time to put everything on and get going, I feel comfortable and I'm good to go.
I feel sorry for your kids later in life. But... All right, start back with you, Paul, again. Actually, we'll just switch it up. We'll go to AJ. What do you like to do away from the football field?
I like to play Xbox.
How old are you?
What'd you say?
13? How old are you?
Nah, I like to play Xbox. I like to read. after I read, I play more Xbox.
I think that's the only reason I made it to the NFL. My parents would not allow me to play video games.
Well,
they made me go outside and play.
Madden's pretty good for you, you know.
Yeah,
I feel like you could
not
translate.
For kickers, it's not.
So, I mean, I play a lot of Call of Duty. I like killing people on video games. Just,
yeah. Okay.
But that's pretty much it.
Barry?
I like to play video games as well, but I also like to travel a lot. Me and my wife, we like to take trips pretty much all over, so I have to say traveling is a big thing of mine.
Okay. Please?
I play a lot of poker.
Play a lot of poker?
There you go.
Poker room's open after this. Head up there.
I'll take somebody's money.
That's all you like to do is play poker?
No, I mean, I like to do a lot of things, man. But, I mean, I'm a big movie buff. I watch movies a lot. Get outside, go eat at good restaurants. I mean, I'm privileged to be a D-lineman, so I don't have to watch my weight as much.
Paul?
As of lately, I spend a lot of time with the family. Two little girls at the house. But then my other big hobby, general aviation. You know, I'm a private pilot, so anytime I can get a chance to go out and fly, I like to do that.
Nice. That's good. All right, let's move on here. Well, so far, I'll ask the three new guys this so far. What are your thoughts on the city of Jacksonville for the short time you've been here? Start out with Barry.
I think it's an amazing city. I mean, look at the fan base is out here. We're early in OTAs, and I mean, everybody's out here ready to go already. So that's the main thing that I've noticed so far is just the fan base and just the city itself is just unbelievable. It's right next to the water. In Dallas, we didn't have any water. I mean, it was hot all around. So, I mean, it's hot here too, but I mean,
Too many thunderstorms in Dallas. My whole family lives in Dallas.
Tornadoes, all types of stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm loving it here so far, and can't wait for the season to begin.
That's good. AJ?
I love the food here. It's pretty nice, you know. I mean, everybody loves food, I would hope. But, yeah, that's pretty much it. You know, the beach, I have yet to check it out. But my daughter is down here right now, and she loves water. So I'm definitely going to take her there. But, like he said, you know, the fans are out here. This is a great turnout. You know, they believe in us, and we're going to give them something good to watch. But just to see how dedicated they are to the team and, you know, just – when I walk around, certain people already know who we are, and it just makes you feel loved. So I feel really good here.
That's good. Well, we welcome you here. Calais?
It's just the passion of the fans. You know, I know the fans are hungry for a winning season, so I'm looking forward to trying to help deliver that.
Paul, you've been here, what, 6, 7 years now, so same question for you.
I mean, Jacksonville's home for us now. You know, we absolutely love it here, love the area, the people. Playing for the Jaguars has been, you know, even though we haven't had success on the field the last, really almost my entire career here, but it's terrible to say. However, that is about to change immediately.
Yes. So, this is a good question for everyone, but Paul, I can probably answer this for you. The next one would be, who's the most entertaining player in the locker room or in your position group? I know who you're going to say, so we won't even start with you. So, Kalea, so far, you know, who have you seen that's the nut job in the locker room, the guy that needs the attention on him all the time?
You know, there's quite a few guys who love him. But I'm actually surprised by Leonard Fournette. His locker's right next to mine, and he's always talking and cracking jokes and picking on somebody. And I like it. It's entertaining.
How old? I haven't met him yet, but he looks like he's 35, 36. How old is he? Is he really like 22?
I feel bad for him when he's gonna be like 50 or 60. Right?
He looks like a grown man already.
I'll probably say the two most interesting people to me is probably Telvin Smith. You know, he just talks the talk. And then you realize, like, wow, that's really him. Like, he can't help it. And
it's not fake.
Another person is probably Allen Robinson. He talks so much. Like, we're in the locker room talking about the game, you know, from yesterday. I go to the training room, get tape, stretch. 15 minutes later, I come back, and he's still talking about the game.
What's funny about him is his rookie year, his locker was two over from mine.
he never said a word. He just sat there and he just listened to people and shake his head. And he was soaking it all in, waiting to fire back at people. So it sounds like he's doing that now. Barry?
I'd have to definitely piggyback on AJ's on that one. I mean, Telvin Smith, he's an interesting man right there. Very interesting man. And I'd have to also say Uncle Jack, which is Miles Jack. I mean, he's a young dude, but I mean, he acts like he's 65 years old sometimes. I mean, he's an interesting dude as well. But we definitely have some characters on this team. Definitely have some characters.
Paul, you're probably going to say the same person.
Absolutely. It's everybody's favorite, number 50, Telvin Smith. He's a character through and through. Obviously, you guys know him as an unbelievable player. He's a great person. But he's always got that smile on his face. Always, always smiling.
That he does. All right, I think we're just about done with my boring questions, so we can get to some fan questions. Give more time for that this time, I believe. Are we ready for that, hopefully? We ready? Give me a thumbs up. Okay. All right, so we're going to start out over here. And you ready?
Yes, sir.
All right, go right ahead.
Defenses in the 90s were fierce. Feared coming here. We took out some of the best players, played your last game against the Jaguars. Do you see the intensity growing that we could get back to that defense to where teams are just going to fear coming to Jacksonville?
Fire away. Anyone wants to answer, go right ahead.
Absolutely. I mean, you look at bringing these three guys in right here and Coach Walsh and everything that he's been able to do to develop our defense and then make it his own. That is absolutely what we want to be. That needs to be a staple of ours, that we are a fast, physical defense that is disciplined and that we have everybody on the field can run and hit. You know, we want to be able to – we always say, you know, defense wins championships. How often do you hear that? You hear it all the time, right? We need to make that a part of the foundation of the Jacksonville Jaguars. Like you said, defensively, they've been outstanding in the past. We need to continue to build on that and make sure that when our defense steps on the field, the opponent knows – this is a dominant group of men, and when we need to be able to play at that level, game in, game out, every week. That's what we're building right now, and that's the plan for us to be able to show you that on Sunday in the fall.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anybody else want to add to that?
I could agree with him on that. You know, even when I signed here and I had my visit, you know, they told us what was expected, the mentality coming into the defense and what they wanted us to do, and the first thing they told me when I came in was the plan was to have the number one defense. And like you said, defense wins championships. You know, you don't pay attention to that a lot. And, you know, we're all competing out there on the field. The offense is making us better, and I feel that we're making them better too. And, I mean, it all starts. And then even in camp when we get the pads on, that's when it really turns up. And we're definitely looking forward to the challenge. We know everybody has something to say, but we're a team. We're building chemistry every day, and we're just going to keep working to be great.
That's great. Yeah, I mean, in my opinion, as a kicker that would sit on the third field and watch the other two offenses and defenses work, and when you finally come together as a team and work, it's fun to see the more dominant side. I mean, everyone knows which side is probably better, ranked higher, but I think you guys are going to make our offense a whole lot better leading up to the season, especially when you go ones-on-one. So I think with the additions of you three, it's going to be fantastic. Barry, do you want to add anything to it?
Just piggybacking off these guys. I mean, being a fast and focused defense is what we key on. And I feel like we need to, what we are going to do is take the ball away a lot more this year. And I feel like that's the difference between a good defense and a great defense is being able to take the ball away and giving the ball back to our offense and letting them do work.
Yeah. Well, they can't do that. Oh, get to the quarterback or protect the quarterback? Oh, wait.
We're definitely going to be the best defense he sees all year, that's for sure.
Good. All right, go ahead. Another question.
Hi. For you guys to be where you are, you had to be successful and motivated to work hard to get there. As a teacher, I find it hard to sometimes get my students motivated to do the hard work to be successful. So what can you guys give me to take back to my classroom that I can tell my students to work hard and be motivated so that they can be successful in a similar way like you guys?
That's funny. I always think about something like that. You know, when my daughter gets older, what am I going to tell her to try to follow my footsteps and I'm a big faithful guy. You know, I'm big with religion. I believe in God. And there's a saying, you know, you reap what you sow. At the end of the day, if you put in the work, I believe, well, you know, if you don't believe in God, I believe this universe will take care of that. And you're always going to have setbacks. It's life. But how do you bounce back from it? Do you stay positive or do you go in the tank and just, you know, stay negative? But at the end of the day, I'm also a firm believer in if you focus on making other people better and encouraging them, it'll also work out for you. So I guess tell the students, you know, always be the best classmate, best student, best friend, best son, daughter. You know, stay positive, stay happy, and always just persevere. Keep moving forward.
I'll say, you should always set goals. You know, make sure they're setting goals and they're working hard to get it. There's no substitution for hard work. So if you have a vision and something you're working hard towards, you just go at it every day. Even when you make mistakes or you fail, just bounce back and overcome adversity and just keep going forward. I mean, it's a simple formula, but it's worked time and time again for me and everybody I know who's successful. So just tell them to set goals and then work hard until they succeed at them.
All right, next question right over here.
Good afternoon. As we all know, at the NFL Combine, 225 is the standard. My question is, do you all still bench 225? And if so, what's your max reps today?
You want to know mine? Mine?
Yours too, yes, sir.
I think I got it like once.
One?
Yeah. Maybe once with a spotter.
Puzz, that's all you, man.
Yeah, who's going to have the most? That's all I want to know.
Puzz definitely has the most.
No, it's not me. I know. So at the Combine, that was 10 years ago for me now. But I did it 22 times then. And I know I'm stronger now than I was then, but we don't – I haven't done that test since then. You know what I mean? We do things a little bit differently now. We'll take we don't even want one rep max here. You know what I mean? So we'll take a weight and say, okay, well, if you do Calais can do 315 a certain number of times, that equates to, you know, a one rep max of a certain amount of weight, or doing 225 a certain amount of times. So yeah, the last time we did that test, combine long time ago for a lot of us, but I think they use specific weights, do a certain number of time, and then equate that to what a 225 test would be now. Does that answer your question? I don't know if that was that answer.
It doesn't, but
fair enough.
How many can you do? That's the question.
Today?
Yeah.
Anthony, what is it, 27? 27.
He's one upper.
Hey, somebody give him a workout.
Are you looking to get a workout or a tryout or something?
I mean, it'll be fun to just come down and bench one time and probably get 30 and walk out, you know, saying I bench with the Jags one day. That's all.
I like it. Thank you, buddy. All right, next question over here. Go right ahead.
Well, thank to all of you, but I want to address this question to Paz because I'm a season ticket holder from day one. My name's on the wall. I've got the hat. But the lady sits in front of me. There are three generations there. Her son, and her grandson. They sit there, and they have your jersey on. And I just want to commend you. 410 up by the cameras, and I sit behind that, and I'm glad you're staying with the team, with the youngsters coming in to help condition them to what the heat's about. The heat's here, and the heat's hot about winning. And thanks to Coughlin, and thanks to you, and I'm glad to be here. Thank you.
He wants you to wave to him for next time. Wave up to 410 next game.
We'll make a big play on defense. We'll point up in your direction. But thank you for saying that. And, you know, along with that, these guys will see this. I can't tell you how many times I've had the opportunity to meet people, you know, in season, off season, doesn't matter. And I've met people that, you know, they've always said, hey, I've been a season ticket holder from day one, and we support you. We're behind you. And that's after of us as players, you know, of 6 years of mediocre football. So that means the world to us as players and as a team, because we know that we haven't performed well. like we talked about, all that's about to change. But you guys have been so supportive of us over the years. So thank you for that, because you're an unbelievable fan base. So thank you so much.
All right, buddy. Go right ahead.
AJ, how many picks are you going to get this year after the couple that you got with the Texans?
Yeah, we'll let him answer or ask it one more time. Just talk a little louder, buddy.
AJ, how many picks are you going to get this year after the couple you got for the Texans?
So he said, how many picks do I get and what with the Texans?
Yeah, what I couldn't hear it all anyway. What did he say? How many picks did he get with the Texans?
How many picks are you going to get with the Jaguars after the couple you got with the Texans?
Okay. Well, I always aim my goals high. And I also believe they're reachable, but I feel I'm going to get 10. That's the plan. You know.
Now, it's going to be, I mean, great having you and Jalen on, you know, either side. So either one of you guys is going to get more balls or the other one's going to. It
right.
just depends on which receiver you get. So who are you think you'll match up with the number one, or they'll switch off, or what?
You'll probably have to ask Coach that. At the end of the day, you know, me and Jalen, we're becoming great friends. We develop that chemistry on the field and off the field, and, like, we do extra stuff together. We talk about football, and at the end of the day, I told him, I was like, your mentality should be that there's no reason you shouldn't be an all-pro corner this year. You want to make plays. Now just, you know, at the end of the day, we're trying to get interceptions, but not only get interceptions, we want to score. Like on defense as corners, and you know, it's a lot of outside noise. You know, everybody talking about like cornerback tandems and everything like that. And he texts me about all the nicknames that everybody's coming up with. But I just told him, just focus on getting better. You know, we push each other in the weight room. We do extra meetings with Perry, and we just always critique each other. So everything that's been happening starting now in OTAs, it's only, I believe we're destined for greatness if we keep working at it. And to go back on him, we play the Texans twice a year, so I'm hoping to get 4 out of those 2 games. So
that'd be good. All right, another question right over here.
Mostly for the new players, what will you do when you face your old team?